This is Myra with Halepule's Everyday Ayurveda and Yoga podcast. At Halepule, we aim to step fully into life, moment by moment. And as humans, we have a knowing deep inside that life is meant to be a joyful journey. But what is it that keeps us from it? You know, we've been trained to keep going, to get from one thing to the next, to be progressing, to have a goal, and to reach that goal. Think about the education system where one test leads to the next, one grade leads to the next, and that leads to a job, and then to kids, and a house, and then retirement, and then? Are we missing the point? Consider that we all have a knowing deep inside of something more, and it's natural to seek that. But our way of living and looking at life has confused and misled us about what makes a difference in how we feel and how we're able to live. Our minds have been trained to look outside for answers and have become quite clever at it. Does it bring what we seek? Maybe not. I want to talk about harmonizing the mind as a tool for experiencing life in a deep and fulfilling way through Ayurveda and yoga. So first, let's see where we are. What is discomfort for you? Do you take extreme steps to avoid it? Or do you move through it with grace? Is discomfort for you just not getting what you want or avoiding your emotions? Or does discomfort take you right out of the present and into the past? Today, people call this a trigger. In Ayurveda and yoga, we know it as samskara, an impression from the past that we're still carrying today. It becomes a habit of thinking and reacting. Established beliefs then are based on these past events. So when something around us awakens it, it takes the mind out of this moment and into the story of the past that isn't happening now. Sounds pretty unpleasant, really. So we all have some of these and have often trained ourselves well to avoid them, to avoid what's going on inside of us, in our minds. Now, consider that the mind is a tool and it takes training. It's either not trained at all, and we spend most of life running around triggered, avoiding the awakened samskara of the moment, or it can be harmonized into a useful tool for a transformation and for being in the joy of life. So we each have our opportunities with this. So let's take a fresh look at this with the natural principles of Ayurveda and yoga. How can we harmonize the mind? Here's a quote from some Buddhist teachings. Our life is shaped by our mind. We become what we think. Suffering follows an evil thought as the wheels of the cart follow the oxen that draws it. Joy follows a pure thought like a shadow that never leaves. Happiness comes when your work and words are of benefit to others. Nowhere did anyone say that life would only be or feel one way. On the contrary, we wouldn't know joy without suffering. It's all in how we look at it and what we do with it, how we respond. The point I wanted to make with this is it's ours, our mind, to do with as we please. So we can harmonize it and use it, or we can be the victim of it. And some will say, It's tricky because we're using the mind to harmonize and observe. Well, let's see. Do you recognize disharmony in your mind? A repetitive story, replaying the past, making up the future, being in fear, constant stress or overwhelm. Without some consciousness in our minds, we try to escape it. We distract ourselves by doing too many things or jumping between thoughts and actions, pretending it's not there. So these are the obvious ones. Although over time, we may choose to try to cover them up with overeating or undereating or alcohol or drugs or relationships or overworking or gambling or martyrdom, social media and distraction. And these days, there's a newer one, working on myself. And when I say working on myself, where we become preoccupied at the expense of the rest of life, being focused on trying to figure things out within us. And some people might feel like Ayurveda and yoga is something I do to work on myself. And I would suggest to you that it's something very different than that. When we take up Ayurveda and yoga, what I'm suggesting is that we really take it up as building a new foundation for life, building a new foundation for how I use my mind, building a new foundation from Ayurveda, for example. The food I eat and what I expose myself to will have a big effect on my mind. And then disharmony in the mind, it shows up fairly quickly in the body. It affects your Agni, your ability to digest. Have you ever had that twirly feeling in your stomach after eating? Oh, when you feel triggered by something someone said. Or suddenly you have no appetite and it's just before mealtime. See, the body is a highly sensitive tool, as is the mind. It's brilliant beyond design. But the body is really just following what the mind is telling it. Most people these days have a baseline of feeling poorly, which can make it even more difficult to identify when something's taking you away from yourself. We get so used to it. When discomfort and old behaviors pop up, it's easy to only go so far as blaming the thing outside of you and not recognizing your higher self's ability to transcend it, something that comes from daily practice. Should you have those tools available that Ayurveda and yoga offer us? And remember, these practices, they're cumulative. So we tend to just want to look at, well, what did it do for me today? But the thing is that when they're done on a regular basis over a period of time, just like we can accumulate toxins over a period of time in life, we can accumulate the benefits of the practices as well. And this has a tremendous effect on the mind and the body. So let's take a little more look at how to harmonize the mind through the lens of Ayurveda and yoga. Because if we don't harmonize the mind, it will lead you astray. This is not about bringing it to a fixed place or one belief. Instead, it's realizing that change is the nature of life, and that clutching to certainty is when we suffer. The more you incorporate the practices of Ayurveda and yoga, the better you feel, and the more feeling good becomes your baseline. So discomfort can be a tool to transcend a shadow that you unknowingly avoid. It might show up as pain or tension, or eventually as disease, dis-ease. And this is what's often necessary to transform and evolve, moving closer to your higher self. And this is done not so much by talking about it, but through your direct experience. And that's why talk therapy can really only take you so far. So this validation of what you experience is important. It's not about believing in something. Rather, we could say it's a form of self-inquiry, asking inside, who am I? Who am I at this moment? And what am I truly desiring? And what am I experiencing? And how am I willing to be inside? Simple steps like slowing down, observing your self-talk, taking it in another direction, and turning inward to pull back the curtain when discomfort arises, or you identify the desire to distract yourself. Sometimes it's helpful to get an outside perspective while observing internally. Even if you're alone, you could speak it out loud into a voice memo or into a mirror. You could think of it as migrating fears from the subtle realm into the gross. Shining a light on them can dissipate them so that you move through this fear energy and not let it block you. It's just energy. Letting go of the need to distract or withdraw and gracefully stepping through what seems real but isn't today. Smile to yourself when you notice an old pattern is about to play out. You can self-correct the course gently and lovingly. It's a little bit like training a puppy. Because you too are that innocent and pure. This is grounding yourself into a new level of being. So practicing contentment or samtosha from yoga. Well, how do you do this? Well, it's one of the reasons we have this podcast, because Ayurveda and yoga recognize the balance of life. Practicing contentment, then, it's not just something that overcomes me. It doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. Sattva, which is balance and harmony, it's all around us in nature, and it is within us. It's those powerful, subtle aspects of us. But it gets covered up with the rajas, the disturbance from excitement and excessive movement, and the tamas, which is the stagnation and the dullness and negativity that comes, for example, when we exhaust ourselves. And how? It's disharmony of the mind. So how to harmonize the mind? Well, first, it's that Ayurvedic principle of like qualities attract like qualities, and opposite qualities bring balance. I already mentioned slowing down, and actually, what that really means is not rushing. Take the fear out of your day-to-day activities. You could actually go quickly at something, but not rush. And you don't burn up your energy as you do when you're rushing. Yeah? That fear, it drains our energy. So have a daily sadhana or a spiritual practice for harmonizing the mind. And again, those practices, they're cumulative. It cultivates the digestion of life. It supports your agni, which is your digestive capacity, digesting food and life, right? Because they affect each other. And more specifically, pranayama practice, which are very specific practices that help to calm the nerves, have you become better acquainted with your mind and how you can bring it into harmony with the moment. Perhaps just conscious breathing and meditation practice daily, even 3 minutes regularly, will make a difference. Can you work to be fully present for those 3 minutes? Just to be with what is, moment to moment. It might be a great challenge, but you could enjoy that challenge. Cultivating a sattvic lifestyle with being intentional with your sleep and your food and healthy relationships, and including self-reflection. Letting go of self-judgment and stories from the past. And you can do this with persistence and with grace. And we have tools to help support you with this, including the Intuitive Energy Practice and our Spark Your Intuition podcast. And then another is to connect with nature. True relaxation is something many people today aren't even familiar with. It's physical and mental rest, as well as a state of being in body, mind, and spirit. It's rejuvenating, it's replenishing and nurturing. And it's a sense of calm and ease and peace and contentment that comes. And connecting with nature is one of the ways we can do this. Relaxation is when the nerves are calm and the mind is in flow with the moment, being at peace with what is. One could see it as acceptance or non-resistance. Not actively resisting or following anything in the mind. Just allowing the flow of prana. Doing things that are fun and bring you some joy. Prayer. Being present with loved ones. Spiritual study, reading, and contemplating a short passage. And simple, sattvic, nourishing food in support of your agni, in support of that digestive capacity, so that you can have ample ojas, which is your vitality, your immunity, and your blissfulness. And when ojas gets low or of poor quality from things like prolonged stress, we become unhappy in life, and eventually we get physically sick. Because it's all connected. You see, so what we feed our mind is what we will project into the world. Ahimsa, or what's called nonviolence, is the foundation of everything. And we can think of this as being as kindness, consideration, and respect. And that's respect of self as well as others, as a commitment to your living. So that you can enable peace and love and harmony inside. So the purpose of these practices are to touch that stillness and spirit within each of us. That special tingle, it's an indescribable feeling. It's going through life without friction or resistance. Maybe you've heard the word serenity, and perhaps that's when the mind is out of the way and not dragging you into a dark hole. Calm and peaceful, not troubled. And this is when we have something called, acceptance or non-attachment. The Sanskrit word is vairagya. So these are all practices of yoga and Ayurveda. And harmonizing your mind gives you serenity. So your discomfort can be the door to your freedom and truth. And the tools of Ayurveda and yoga can show you the way through that door to harmony, to sattva, to that sense of balance and sweetness, and an open and peaceful mind. We're meant to feel well in life. And to do this, we need activity, we need relaxation, rejuvenation, we need self-inquiry. We need to know ourselves inside, to know our innermost self better. These are all things that involve our mind. It's your tool for you in this life. Use it well and experience the best results. Until next time. In Ayurveda, we understand that we each have a unique constitution. Halipule's tridoshic approach is ideal for families and supports multiple constitutions. You can cultivate sattva in cooking, knowing that you're making meals that support everyone's constitution. Subtle adjustments may be required, but it doesn't need to be a stress point. To learn our tridoshic approach to create nourishing meals, join Simple Ayurvedic Cooking with Halipule. Their recipes are easy, delicious, and will leave you feeling energized. And the link to join is in our show notes.